Becky, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
I'm so happy to be here.
Stress at work, it permeates everything in our life if we let it take a hold of us.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what are, I was looking at that, more than 90% of people are burned out at work.
Yeah.
How does that happen to 90% of the population?
Well, that's not hard to believe. Well, I think that nowadays we have a really hard time setting boundaries and taking care of ourselves. Mm. So work is taking over our life, and yeah, for a lot of reasons. But, you know, we have a hard time keeping work at work, part because employers expect us to be working outside of work times, and partly because, you know, we have access to our email and to phone all the time. So it's just hard to unplug. I mean, I think that's really one of the biggest issues.
Yeah. We're able to connect to our job so much more mm-hmm. than what it was even 5 or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always accessible. And is there maybe sometimes I kind of feel guilty sometimes when I'm not working, when I've got downtime. Isn't that weird?
I think that setting boundaries is something that is foreign to a lot of people. And by setting boundaries, I mean being able to keep yourself within a 40-hour work week, to be able to say, all right, even if I am expected to do some work at home, I am not going to do it during dinner time, or I'm going to shut my phone off at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
or whatever it is. And or to be able to say, as soon as I leave this office, I am going to be in mom mode or dad mode.
Yeah.
You know, I'm done being whatever it is I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, I mean, electronics, period, are a problem, because a lot of times we're so stressed from work that we come home, and even if we're not doing work on our electronics, we're trying to unplug that way and remove ourselves from reality and stress, but we're not plugging into our families, and it's a big issue.
Yeah. Signs that we're burnout. Signs that we're overstressed.
Well,
what do you see?
Irritability, anger, frustration. I mean, those are things you don't necessarily think of with stress, but those are some of the biggest symptoms. Difficulty sleeping, feeling fatigued all the time, loss of interest in things that normally are interesting, relationship problems.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this, it's very much related.
Those things can be tied back to stress at work.
Yes, definitely.
Wow. So maybe if you notice, you almost need somebody else to tell you that, right? Because you don't necessarily see it yourself, right?
It's important to know what the signs are, because I think a lot of times we miss them. Or that they get blamed on our job, when really we need to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. So self-care is another big boundary that we need to do. So, you know, it's not our employer's job to take care of us. We have to be able to shut down when we leave work, shut that off, remove ourselves from the drama or whatever else is going on there, and go home and eat a healthy meal and figure out how to exercise and really tune into our families and healthy social relationships.
So what you may be saying here is it's not necessarily the employer's fault that you're having these issues. They're just the scapegoat. You're saying, well, the reason I'm like this is because my job is blah, 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 blah.
Well, if you go from job to job to job to job, and there's the same problem everywhere you go, and you're the common denominator, you've got to look at that.
That's right.
Now, it's definitely not always the case.
Right.
You know, our society is moving to pushing us to do more and more and more and more so they can hire fewer people. And if you continue to push your boundaries where you're trying to do 60 hours of work in 40 hours and driving yourself crazy and working so hard, if you prove to your employer you can do that, then they're going to try to get 65 hours. So at some point, you have to say no, and you have to put a boundary up, or they are going to keep pushing you.
Yeah. And those things, maybe the reason you need to work so hard is because you've overextended yourself financially in other areas. So you have to meet your right?
That is a whole nother aspect, but that it definitely impacts it. Definitely. If you don't set boundaries financially so that you're comfortable and you can take care of yourself, you have to have priorities. I mean, it's not worth it to have a brand new car and a boat and a RV if it means that you're stressed financially every single month just trying to pay the bills. You have to decide if it's worth it.
How did you get into this line of work? What interested you in this? How did you get started?
Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I went to school. I actually went to Knox for undergrad.
Okay.
And
you grew up in this area then?
Yeah, I grew up in Stark County.
Okay.
And I fell in love with psychology, and the psychology department at Knox is very good.
Yeah.
And it prepared me well. And then I went to Washington University in St. Louis for social work school to get my master's in clinical social work. And I actually came back because my coach from Knox wanted me to come assistant coach with her.
Okay.
So
coaching
volleyball, softball.
Volleyball, okay.
And I worked at Bridgeway for a couple years.
Yeah.
And I met Lindsay Peachy there, and that's my business partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to start our own place, which was a very scary thing to do.
Yeah.
There hadn't been a lot of success in private practice in Galesburg in the past. And we have unique aspects to our business. One, you know, we have people answering the phone. We have always had an office manager, and we've done billing for people, tried to make it easy. Plus, we've brought a faith-based aspect. And so not everyone that comes is Christian or wants to even explore that, but some people come specific for that, and it is something we can offer that other people don't.
Right. So when you met Lindsay and you had this idea of starting your own practice, you had a vision for what you wanted. You saw a need in this community.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what kind of needs did you see here? Where did you see that we were underserved here in this area?
Well, mental health all around is underserved in this area. And, you know, really we could have several more counselors. I mean, we've got 6 on staff right now, and we could really fill up more people. There's such a need in this area. There's substance abuse counseling, which is something we do not specialize in, but nobody does in this area. It's a big hole.
You have to drive elsewhere for that. Yeah. So what are your specialties? What do you really enjoy working with?
I have done a lot with children, children and families, and but I like working with adults too. I like a balance.
Yeah.
So anxiety is something that, I mean, it's so widespread. Nearly everyone can relate with that.
Yeah.
So that's something that we deal with just on a daily basis, and anyone and everyone. So, you know, we see pastors and bankers and, you know, attorneys, everybody has these issues. It's widespread.
Absolutely. You touch on so many different elements of helping people from we talked about finances earlier, you know, the financial stress.
Yeah.
You talk about, you know, a job and, you know, job stress, but, marriage counseling.
Yes.
You get into that too.
Yeah. We have 3 of our counselors that specialize in that. And, that is a big thing. The frustrating thing, I think, is people wait too long for marriage counseling. So that's the struggle. They wait until one person is not completely committed until they come in the very last minute, when really everyone could use marriage counseling. It's healthy. It's learning to communicate through difficult things. But we have very good marriage counselors.
Yeah. Yeah. And family counseling in general.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you bring the whole family in.
Yeah. And that can be, you know, parents and kids. It can be adult children and older parents.
Yeah.
And I mean, it can all kinds of different combinations. Mm-hmm.
There's a stigma about going to a counselor, though, isn't there? I mean, I'm hesitant to go because maybe it shows that I'm weak or I'm embarrassed about having to talk to someone about my problems?
I think that the stigma is getting better with every coming generation, but it's definitely there. And it's unfortunate because counseling is honestly, that part of your self-care is as important as going to the doctor. It's just the thing we see a lot is stress is going to affect you one way or another. It's going to affect you. It will physically, oftentimes, before you even recognize that you're stressed. So if you don't pay attention to it, it will make you pay attention to it.
Now, we've been talking about anxiety, and we're going to get back into stress at work, but I wanted to finish our conversation talking about your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You started this with Lindsay Peachy, and you had a certain vision in mind. You saw that this community was underserved in the mental health side and with counseling, and we've talked about, you know, you offer marriage counseling and family counseling and children, and but also, what are some other areas that you serve?
Well, since you brought up financial, for the people that we are seeing, we do offer financial coaching as well. We have a financial coach that works with us. She uses the Dave Ramsey system. So, and that, you know, that is a wonderful service because so many people, financial, especially for couples, financial stress is just such, it's often the top three stressors in a marriage. The other thing we offer that is unique to this area is therapeutic yoga. And we have a licensed, counselor that, has been trained extensively in therapeutic yoga. And what the research is telling us now is that you cannot calm your brain and calm your thoughts and be able to teach yourself to think more positively until you figure out how to calm your body. So it's about learning relaxation exercises, meditation. Bringing together the mind-body connection. And it's fascinating, but this is the way that the field is moving, is that you have to bring together the mind-body.
And Becky Mowers is from Crossroads Counseling and Life Coaching here in Galesburg. She's a licensed clinical social worker. Life coaching. What is life coaching? I mean, I know we hear that word, but how would you explain it to someone?
Well, some people want to come in and not focus at all on the past, but focus more on making goals for the future.
Right.
Figure out where they're going from here, and or have specific goals that they want to work towards. And so a lot of times that's more of a coaching situation.
Got it. Well, I can see that, especially the therapeutic yoga could certainly help us at work, because I'm looking at the statistic, 90% of people are burned out at work in some way or another, whether that's just a little bit, oh, I'm really getting sick of this too. If someone comes in and looks at me wrong, I'm going to blow up. I'm done. I'm going to walk out of here. And
right.
Yeah. So how do we get to that? What is causing all this? We were talking earlier a little bit, but, you know, I think one of those things might be a toxic culture in the business. Do you see that from?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that, relationships are big. So, you know, you're never going to find a workplace where there's no conflict, just like you're never going to find any sort of situation where you don't have some sort of conflict with someone.
Yes.
So, you know, it's about your ability to manage that, really, and remove yourself from the drama and not take things personally, you know, allow other people's stuff to be their stuff. That's what a lot of people run into, where if, you know, other people's behaviors and their insecurities oftentimes come out at us, and we have to get to a place where we know our own issues enough that we can recognize, okay, she's saying that to me because she's insecure. That is not about me. I am not going to get into that.
Right.
And be able to set a healthy boundary with them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have folks take a Myers-Briggs test, or do you subscribe to that at all? Do you agree with that? To know your own Myers-Briggs personality, to know your own personality, and to be able to recognize other different personalities?
I think the Myers-Briggs is interesting. I don't think it's the most important part of your personality.
Right.
I think it's more important to know, like, what triggers you. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do with what your own insecurities are and, you know, what you have dealt with in your past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to figure that out, you've got to look at when you have had the highest level of emotion, what is the common underlying, denominator there? What has been the thing about those situations that has triggered you? And because when you find that trigger, that is super helpful, because then you can start recognizing it.
Yeah. And especially if you can recognize that and you know how far you can be pushed, at what point should you really consider, I need to find another place because this is just not for me anymore. The culture is so toxic here at this job. I need to move on.
I think if you have done a good job of setting boundaries.
Yes.
Where you attempt to, you know, I am getting paid for 40 hours a week. I can only do 40 hours of work a week. This is my job description. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And you've talked to your employer about feeling like the expectations are unreasonable, and the employer continues to push and push and push and not deal with what the issues are, then I think that it's not your issue, it's their issue, and you need to remove yourself.
Yeah. Becky Mowers is co-owner of Crossroads Counseling and Life Coaching here in Galesburg. She's a licensed clinical social worker. And we're talking about burnout at work, mm-hmm. and how that really can affect all parts of your world, because not only would you be stressed at work, but you bring that home to your family.
Yeah, and vice versa. I mean, a lot of the stress that we're feeling at work or is getting expressed at our job can be a result of stress that's happening at home, too. If things are not good in your marriage, you're going to come to work and be grouchy and frustrated. So, I mean, that's just human nature. It is really important to recognize what the signs are, because a lot of times people don't know how stressed they are until all of a sudden they have an ulcer, or their blood pressure's crazy high, or they start getting migraines or having panic attacks, or whatever, you know, however your body is expressing it, because we can only handle so much.
Yes. And I know we talked about those signs. What are those signs, the classic signs of just being overstressed, burnout?
So you want to look for changes. So you want to look for, like, an increase in irritability and anxiousness and or depression, loss of interest in things that used to be interesting for you, or just a feeling of apathy, difficulty sleeping, or when you do sleep, it doesn't feel restful, feelings of fatigue, difficulty concentrating, muscle tension, headaches, digestive problems.
Wow.
Feeling yourself withdraw socially, a decreased sex drive, use of substances more to cope. So if you go home and you're not drinking one glass of wine at dinner, but you're drinking three, pay attention to that. And if you start getting sick more often, because cortisol is a stress hormone.
Yeah.
And as we get more stressed, we start gaining weight, oftentimes around our waist. Our immunity is decreased, so we get sick more often, and it causes all kinds of issues and difficulty concentrating and thinking. You feel kind of stupid.
Absolutely. And if you notice these situations, you need to go and talk to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people reach out to, but there's such, as we said earlier, there's kind of a stigma attached to it. I feel like I'm weak. I should be able to handle this.
Well, and there's other things you can do too. You know, setting these healthy boundaries, getting a healthy exercise routine. Exercise is huge for stress.
Yeah.
It needs to be a part of our life, as hard as that is with this, spread out as we are with our kids running 8 million different directions.
Right.
But those are huge things. You know, prioritizing, you know, balancing, being able to balance work, home, social life, alone time, responsibilities versus downtime.
Yeah.
Having that social time is important. So, and really working on the relationships that you have, especially your marriage.
Yeah.
Because if you're pulling away and your marriage starts going on the rocks, it makes everything more stressful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember someone told me that at the end of the day, because there, you know, you can, it's easy to get caught up in at work, and so soon you're spending in 15 minutes over, half hour, an hour. Pretty mm-hmm. soon you're 2 hours late coming home, and it becomes a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me, they said, at the end of the day, at the regular time I'm supposed to leave, if I look at my desk and it doesn't, and there's nothing on there that means the deaths of thousands of people,
mm-hmm.
turn the light off and walk out the door, it'll still be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
It's not always the easiest thing to do, but I do like that, though.
Well, it's like the saying, like, is this what's going to matter to me at the end? Because it's not. Work is not going to be what you're thinking about in your last few minutes of life. It's going to be those relationships. It's going to be your family. You're going to have those memories. So you got to make those memories. It's sad how much time off we waste. I read an article about that recently, and it was crazy. Americans waste so many days off. Take your time off. Take care of yourself. So important.
And one of the things you wanted to touch upon, well, for me, I think I fall into this. Our job is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when things aren't going well, that reflects on me as a person, and it's my self-worth. And
yes.
You find that a lot when you're talking with folks.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that is a huge part of stress at work, is that, you know, when we aren't living up to the expectations of our boss, or we're not moving up the ladder, or we're not doing what we feel like we need to do, if we base our self-concept on our success in the work world, those are huge blows. And so that's just devastating. And it's one of the reasons why retirement is so hard, because if your whole life is your job and this is who I am, it's interesting, you know, we introduce ourselves and say, what do you do? That's like one of the first questions. And because we are our jobs, a lot of times when people are trying to transition into retirement, it's so hard, especially for men.
Yeah.
It's harder for men.
Yeah.
Transitioning into that and like feeling like they lose their identity when they lose their job.
Mm.
So it's...
How do you help them? How do you help?
Well, you have to find a new normal. You have to recognize, how do you really want to identify yourself? What else, what other parts of your life are there that are so much more important?
Yeah.
How can you work on connecting with people in a different way? Or how do you find purpose?
Right. Well, we talked about anxiety, but depression. I read a statistic that, you know, men in their 50s and 60s, middle-aged men getting ready to retire, or they're almost ready to retire, have some of the highest suicide rates
mm-hmm.
Nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And depression, is that part of this, this transition anxiety?
Well, I would say it's definitely a factor. And I think nowadays, the guys that are getting to the age where they should be retiring and they can't because they haven't managed finances well, and all that reality is hitting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that factors into it too.
Mm.
Plus, you know, the empty nest syndrome is difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, it affects men and women differently, but if you don't have a good relationship with your spouse, all that's going to come to life when there is light, when no one else is there to distract
yes.
you.
Yes.
So all those things are happening at the same time.
Mm. There is help out there. If people would just take that step to call a place like Crossroads.
Right.
To be able to just, it's really just sitting down and having a conversation with someone. Isn't that as easy?
And sometimes just having some of your feelings normalized. And like understanding what you're going through is so helpful, because when you're feeling like you're alone and the only person that's feeling this way, or something's really wrong with me,
yeah.
then you know, having that normalized and really having a name for what you're going through and having it explained, it's just like a weight lifted off of you.
So the fact that if I can realize that I'm not the only one going through this,
right,
that this is perfectly normal to feel like this.
Yes.
That's helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Hmm. Becky Mowers is the co-owner of Crossroads Counseling and Life Coaching in Galesburg. She's a licensed clinical social worker. This is so interesting to me, and I can't wait to touch upon other topics as we here on Galesburg Live with you and your team at Crossroads. And if anyone has any questions about, you know, this stress at work, burnout at work, and they're looking for help, make sure they contact you. You have a wonderful team there to help. I want to shift gears and continue this talking about this transition anxiety. I want to touch, we've only got a few minutes left here, but back to school time can be a huge stressful time, anxiety for not just children going back to school, but parents too.
Oh, yes.
So let's talk about let's talk about children first.
Yeah.
Anxious going back to school. You see that?
Well, transition period is hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard for us in general. I mean, we were just talking about the transition at the other end of the life, but this is hard. I mean, you get used to not having, oftentimes having a relaxed schedule in the summer, things being one way, and then you have to go back to long days at school, you know, early bedtimes, early wake times,
yeah,
a lot more responsibility, having homework every night. And it's a lot. It's a lot for kids because they have the stress of social life at school. And social life is so much more difficult than it used to be, even when I was a kid, just because of social media.
Yeah.
And they have access to all these electronics at such a young age. It's really unfortunate. So it's just, school is stressful. And not that it's the teacher's fault. It's just, it is a stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get into it and they get in the routine, it gets a little bit better. But this transition time is tough.
Mm-hmm.
This tends to be a very busy time at our office.
Sure.
But it's also a time people miss a lot of appointments because everyone's schedule is all, you know, changed. And so parents have to get used to it too. It's very stressful for parents to have to be getting their kids to bed every night at a certain time and getting up and getting lunches packed. And, you know, it's back to the chaos of school.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to give them structure.
Yeah.
And that's actually the part about school that's often the best for kids.
Yeah.
So give them that structure. So if your kids tend to be more anxious and they are acting out when they're more stressed out, they still have a consequence for acting out, but then you do need to connect with them emotionally to understand what's going on. Did you have a bad day at school today? What happened?
Yeah.
Was that girl picking on you again, or what happened? Because if you don't connect with them and help them understand that part of the reason that they're acting out is because they're stressed, and, oh, you are stressed, what could you do about that? Go outside and ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's then you just, you know, that's what you can do to help them.
Yeah,
the
absolutely,
most.
Absolutely. And now in the last few minutes here, the transition anxiety for the parent.
Being a parent of adult children is extremely difficult.
Oh.
Speaking of the need for boundaries, because it's a whole new world. You go from being their disciplinarian to, you know, you're almost a peer that they respect and come to for advice.
Yeah.
And you can't be too pushy and overbearing or else they're not going to come to you for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, that means they have to learn the hard way, which is so hard because as parents, we want our kids to have it easy. We don't want them to have to go through the rough stuff we went through. We want them to be able to learn from our mistakes. But part of the reason that we got to where we're at is that we did go through that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's extremely hard as a parent to take a step back and take a different role. It's very important that when you're in that transition phase that you figure out other meanings for your life because, you know, parent isn't your identity anymore, speaking of identity change. And you know, you've got to have other meaning, other things to keep your busy, other. Yeah. It's not going to, you're not going to be giving rides all day long.
Is it harder for moms or dads that in your experience?
Moms.
Harder for moms. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Being the giving up that.
And that's a generalization. It depends on the person.
Sure. Of course. And the family and the situation. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, so how do I know that I'm anxious or that my kids are anxious, Becky? How do I know? Because kids can not show really
kids
much of anything, right?
With the thing with kids is keep an eye on change also.
Yes.
So they're going to have, they will have behavior changes a lot of times when they're stressed. You know, depending upon age, they're not going to be able to come up to you and say, Dad, I'm really stressed. I think I need to go talk to someone, but they might start acting out more and being irrational emotionally or just seeming irritable or, you know, withdrawing socially. A lot of the stuff we talked about with adults can happen with kids too. You know, they have trouble sleeping, more nightmares, feeling fatigued, withdrawing socially. So, you know, if you have concerns at home, it's important to touch base with the teachers because they are with them 7 hours a day, yeah, something like that. And they'll oftentimes have physical symptoms too. So headaches and stomach aches and not wanting to go to school, all these things you've got to pay attention to and try to figure out, is there something I'm missing here? Yeah. But you have to be self-aware about yourself. And know your own stuff in order for you to really be tuned in to your kids, because that's going to help both of you.
Oh, Becky Mowers, thank you so much for coming in on Galesburg Live today. And there's so many things that I'm anxious to talk to you and your team about here on Galesburg Live. So please come back and see us again.
Sure.
Yeah. And for someone who would like to find out more information, they just contact you, call for an appointment. Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's probably easiest to call if you want to make an appointment, because you'll be able to talk to the office manager on the phone. Our number is 309-343-0800, and our website is www.crossroadslife.com.
Mm-hmm. Lots of great information on there, too, about the different areas that that you serve. So, again, thank you to you and your team, and come back and see us soon.
Okay.